Okay, other ones are recording. Okay. Now let's start with our Cheshbon. Do we have any more questions before we start with our Cheshbon and Nefesh?
Let's start.
Okay, so let's start. Everybody has a piece of paper to write on? We're going to start with the easy stuff. Okay? And I'm going to give you time. I want you to write it right now. Don't just write the question, because when you go home, there's not really time to do homework. Actually, make your list right now. Okay, we're going to start at the very easiest level, and that is, who do you owe money to that you need to repay? Who do you, just write a list of debts you need to pay. Okay. Okay. For those who came late, what we're going to do now is quite a bit of work to create the blueprint, a physical written blueprint for the coming up year. First, we have to do a little bit, in a way, a little bit of demolition work. We have to repair, we have to create the proper ground for us to build the new year upon. So we want to do what's called a Cheshbon HaNefesh, an accounting of the soul. We're going to look at a few different levels, but we're going to start with the accounting of the very physical levels so that we can clean up our past to create a new future. So we're going to start with past cleanup, and then we're going to go deeper into looking at our soul. But we're going to start with very physical. Okay, who do you owe money to that you need to repay? And it's not, this does not count, let's say, credit cards that you have a system of repayment towards. This means a friend that you borrowed some money from while you were shopping because you didn't have the cash, or whatever it is, or a dentist that you didn't pay, that you didn't make an arrangement with. Like, who do you need to repay? Make a little list so you can pay those debts. That's what I'm saying. No, make your list. Make your list right now. Yes.
My father, and I think, but I'm not even sure, that he owes money to someone. And I have absolutely no idea, but I'm having to check. And the person is not allowed to keep them.
Okay. Right, you should
so
check.
I give money to their children.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is that my achrayus also?
It's not your achrayus, as far as I understand. It's not your responsibility. It's your chesed to your father. Because if we die, it's not just that. He's held back by the debt. If we die with debt that we didn't pay, we are held back by that. So it's a tremendous kindness to pay the debt of a deceased person. So what I'm saying now is, don't write down the question, write down the answer.
Yeah.
Right?
What if I don't recall? I think that not consciously, I don't.
If you think you're fine, you're fine. If you're not sure if you owe somebody, just write down their name so you can call them up and say, did I ever give you that back? Okay, so it's not just debts. It's also not just money. It's also books. It's books that you borrowed from somebody. What book did you borrow that you didn't give back, right? Or who brought you
a casserole or a cake in a pan that's still in your cabinet that you didn't return to them? Return the pans, return the trays, return the books. Return the money, return the things that you borrowed. But it's not even things that you borrowed, it's things that people forgot in your home. Which child spent the night in your house and forgot their pajamas? Right? And now those pajamas are folded in the corner somewhere and you keep forgetting to giving it back to the mom. Write it down so you can check it off the list.
And then what do you do when you have something that, let's say I made a wedding and somebody, some rabbi left his scarf. I don't know who the rabbi was. I don't know his name. What do you do with things like, you know?
So you have no way of knowing who it is?
No, yeah. I have no idea.
No way at all.
Ma.
I think so. I mean, I think, but I'm not positive. I mean, you have to do some, you have to do a reasonable, right, so you have to do a reasonable amount of work to try to figure out who it belongs to.
If it, of course it's a lot, I think the question she has to ask me, but
right.
I think that when it's something that the people think it's lost, like a
right.
Something, like
right.
Something that's not very valuable.
It's true, valuable, right, that's true.
You can keep it for some time and then... You
right, so that is the case. So let's say a scarf. Right. Right.
Right. So in terms of possessions, right, if it's a possession, that's the regular type of thing to lose. An umbrella, for instance, right? Few people are seeking their umbrellas. They might, though, for the first couple of weeks, right? They might call you up and say, did I leave my umbrella in your house? But after a month or two, if they didn't call you, umbrellas are the type of thing that people lose. So you just have to figure out, like, how far does that go, the type of thing that people lose. You should keep it for a while. If nobody called you, so then nobody called you. If you know who it belongs to, though, it's a mitzvah to return it. You can't just say, I'll wait for them to call. You have to call them, right? So, but then, right, so, and something bigger, then you have to ask a shayla. It is really a question. Also, in your, right, exactly, in this list, what tzedakah did you promise to pay that you didn't yet?
I think that even for small things, it's a shayla. I mean, there is a well-known story here in Mexico of a whole family who did tshuva because a girl went to Israel and she left an asimon by somebody's house, by a rabbi's house. An asimon is
a telephone token.
And years later, she met the rabbi, and the rabbi gave back, or somebody brought back the asimon. This one became because of that.
But he knew who it belonged to.
Yeah, but
that's different. But he knew who it belonged to.
Yeah.
If you know who it belongs to, you have to return it. Even if it's little, you're not allowed to keep something that belongs to somebody else. Right, and then you can ask them. Let's say you have that, right. 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 But if you know who it belongs to. Right. Well, that's what we're doing right now. Okay. And also think about whatever pledges you made. And you can ask your husbands, when they got an aliyah, did they pledge and not yet pay? Did somebody call you and you pledged and you didn't pay yet?
What if you think of doing something, like giving something to the country and then you didn't give?
If you think of it, but you didn't decide for sure that you will, then it's not, you did not make a pledge. It's not a pledge. It was just a thought. So until
somebody owes you, you can away, yes.
You can. This is a time to say, you know, I'm just trying to clean up before Rosh Hashanah. I was wondering if you happen to have the $20 that you owe me, you know, because I just want to make sure that everything is taken care of. Right, no, but you want to clean up your relationship also with somebody else. Yes. That's right. Yeah, so you are really healthy. Yes, yes. Yes, you can. You can. Yes. If you want to help the other person clean up before Rosh Hashanah, but you don't want to call for that $20, it's uncomfortable for $20 for you to call the person. You are allowed to say, and you probably should say it out loud so it's official, I release that $20 debt of Susan's. She no longer owes it to me. But then if Susan comes in a week and says, here's that $20, you can say, I released that debt. It's no longer mine. She could give you a present, but she's not paying a debt, right? Because if you release the debt, it's not a debt anymore. You could.
If she gives me money back.
Yeah, you could.
She
I release, right, yeah, so you could release. Okay, so that's debts. Now let's think about apologies. Let's think about apologies. Whose feelings did you hurt? Whose party did you not attend? Who it bothered them? Like, some people don't care if you didn't go to their party, but some people do, right? You blew them off and you shouldn't have, right? So who do you owe an apology to?
What?
Who do you owe an apology to? It's not just a party that you didn't attend. Some parties, it doesn't matter if you attended. Some, it does. Who should you have paid more attention? They were sick and you didn't even call them. Right, you knew they were sick for a while and you didn't pick up the phone. Who is that person that you should call and apologize that you didn't take the proper care of them when you should have?
But even you're so when you are hungry or something.
For
like that.
Sure. For sure, yes.
And that's what you're capable of apologizing for.
Well, Yom Kippur is the deadline. Yom Kippur is the deadline. You want to make sure that I'm talking. Now, first we're talking about the outer level, a friend, a cousin, somebody outside. For sure, you hurt the feelings of your very closest people, your children, your parents, your siblings, your spouse. That's really not a question. In the course of the last year, we hurt each other, right? So you definitely need to ask that. If it's a big thing that you're aware of, you need to ask about that specific big thing. Please forgive me for X. But if you're not clear about it, then you could say, I know over the last year that I have hurt you, and I want to tell you that I'm really sorry. If there's anything specific you want to tell me, this is a great time. I'm open. You could say, you might not even know that when you said something to your daughter about her weight, about her marital status, about her pregnancy, about the way she feeds her kid, right, that you hurt her feelings. You might not even know that. And this is a chance for her to say it to you. You know, Ma, I really don't like it when you tell me I should put a bib on my kid. You know, just because you bought the clothes and you don't want to see them messy, that's how I feed my daughter. Right, and sometimes that too.
Sometimes the other person doesn't realize they hurt.
Right.
Just like baby stuff, right? But I heard from my sister-in-law, when someone constantly says, I'm sorry, you should say, I'm thinking to you. Even if you didn't notice, because that person really feels that he needs this forgiveness. And you should
verbalize
and say, forgive.
Yes. So you're saying in the case where I feel like I hurt somebody, but that person didn't even realize that I did something I thought was wrong, right? They were sick. They didn't expect a phone call from me. It was just me who thought I really should have called them. I really should have called them. Right? Right. 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 I forgive you. Right. 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 Right.
But sometimes, let's say you feel bad that you didn't go visit somebody and the other one was sick or whatever, and then the person didn't even notice it, and you tell her, and you make her feel bad sometimes instead of making her good.
So sometimes you do have to evaluate. That's the case sometimes, let's say with Lashon Hara. You said something bad about somebody else, right? Now, you do have to think. You are supposed to ask the person for forgiveness, but maybe they really don't know. So should you go to the person and say, I told Hani that you're a bad housewife, and I really feel bad, I'm sorry. No, you shouldn't say that, because it's going to make them feel really bad about you, right? So if they don't know, if Hani went to her and said, you know, Marcia said that you're a bad housewife, then you need to apologize. But if she didn't say that, if the person doesn't know, you shouldn't make matters worse by apologizing directly. Then you have to apologize to Hashem. Yeah, and it has to be a real apology. You have to say, I said about Hani that she's a bad housewife. I told it to Susie, and I shouldn't have said it. I feel bad about saying it, and I take upon myself not to say that about somebody again.
But first double check with Susie to find out.
Right, right. Right. Yeah, and if you have caused any damage, you should repair it. Like, let's say Susie runs a daycare, and you told Hani that Susie's daycare is dirty, and so Hani didn't send her kid to it. Right? You have to go back to Hani and say, I'm sorry I said that. It's not true. She's a very good daycare person. Right. Unless you feel that. Right. No, but I'm saying if you cause damage. No. If you cause damage, you have to repair the damage. There's so many rules with Lashon Hara. If it's true that it's dirty and you feel that, you know, that child shouldn't be there because it's really too dirty, then you're allowed to say it. But you can't say she's such a bad housewife if she keeps it so dirty. You just have to say, I think it might be too dirty for your child to go there. And that's all you're allowed. Anyway, that's a whole different conversation. Okay. Now let's move to Averot. Okay. Yeah, we're going to talk about forgiveness separately. Maybe we should do that next. Okay, Averot. Okay, transgressions, sins, things that you did against God, right? So now you're not thinking about other people. This is against God. This is now because you already made your list of things you need to apologize to people for, right? Now you need to make a list of things you need to apologize to God for.
Maybe, I've done things that I know I shouldn't have done. but I'm not ready to take those things on. I can apologize, but mm-hmm. there are certain things that, like in Tshuva, I'm not still.
Okay, that's fine.
So you say, like, I'm sorry for this, but I'm still
committed. I'm not sure I can commit to fixing it, right. It's a good question. Okay, right. Yeah, all the mitzvot, right? So it could be you spoke negatively about the land of Israel, right? You're not allowed to say negative things about God's holy land. You're not allowed to say negative things about God, right? You're not allowed to say negative things about the Jewish people. So that's speaking, right? So you're not allowed to hurt somebody else's feelings. You have to apologize to them and to God for that. Then there's things like your own, wherever you're holding in your relationship with God. So let's say you're a regular davener, but you gave it up for whatever reason, and you now want to fix that. Let's say you're not a regular davener, but you feel like you should have been more in connection with God, whether it was through prayer from a book or just regular conversation. It's something that you feel like you were doing wrong. So if you're somebody who regularly says blessings, but you regularly forget to bench, you forget to, like, you're the type that gets up from the table to do other things, you're busy as a mom, and, you know, it's 73 minutes later, you realize, oh my gosh, I blew it again. I bless you. So whatever those things are, and it could be a bigger thing. Maybe you went on vacation and decided, I hate covering my hair, I'm not doing it for this week. Right? And now you feel really guilty about it. Things happen. I spoke to one religious man who thought about this. I couldn't even believe he did it. But he was a Baal Tshuva. He hadn't had a lobster in like 15 years, but he was polishing for a lobster. Polishing. So he planned. This is not even like he just was at somebody's house and they served it. He said, when I go away, I'm going to a restaurant, I'm ordering a lobster. Right? And he did. And he ate it. But then he felt terrible afterwards. So sometimes most of us don't get to the place where we plan an Avera, which is much harder to do tshuva from, but we do things, right? That's much harder. But sometimes we do things like we're out, we're hungry, we see something, it's there. It's not the hechsher we usually eat. Right? And we'll say, whatever, like, it's probably fine. Right? It's not that bad. And so we might eat that thing that's not on our level, so we might want to apologize for that.
What about transgressions that you do with yourself?
For instance?
Like, you don't eat healthy or okay. exercise, or you do
right.
small.
Right. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that a little bit further down. Okay. Okay. So now let's just switch. Okay. Does everybody have enough time to write this? Okay. Switch. Okay. Yeah. You're done. No. No. You should. It does take a long time, but you should be writing something now. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Let's move to tshuva. Okay. Because we're going to go a little bit deeper, but let's just answer this question. How does tshuva work?
Going back to apologies, I mean, it's very easy to apologize. I mean, it's not very easy, but it's easier. But it's much harder to apologize in a sincere way.
That's correct.
Some things that you feel maybe resentment toward a person, and you spoke not in a nice way, whatever, but you still have a feeling. Mm-hmm. So you go and you tell her, I am so sorry, I spoke to you, but you still feel that. So that's not, one has to do a lot of inner work.
Yes. That's correct. So there's, first of all, there's levels of apologies. Just like there's levels of thank you, right? When somebody comes and eats in your house, right, they get up and they say thank you for the meal, right? Okay, that's a thank you. But it's not the same as when your friend comes to the house and says, wow, that sauce that you made, I know it takes a lot of work. Really, it's so nice. And you know it's my favorite. Thank you so much for taking the extra time to make that for me when I came. Right? It's totally different thank you. They get it. They get what you did, or you went out of your way. Or even if they just see the regular things that you did, but they're like, it's just amazing how you do this every week. A vorspeise and a main course and three salads and a dessert, not just one dessert and fresh fruit. Look, it's so amazing what you do. It's totally different than your kid who gets up from the table and says, thanks, Ma, see you later. Right? Now, and leaves their plate. Right. So there's different levels of thank yous. And there's different levels of apologies too. There's the, I'm sorry. Now, here's one thing I learned from Rabbi Yaakov Meyer. When you apologize, you're not allowed to use the word if. You have to use the word that, okay? You can't say, I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. That's not an apology. It's not sincere. Right, right. No, it's, I am sorry that I hurt your feelings. I was wrong. I take responsibility for it. It's not, I'm sorry that you're so weak, that you didn't get it, that you're too sensitive, that what I said that's really actually normal hurt your feelings, right? That's not an apology. But people apologize like that. That's not okay. If you're apologizing, you have to take responsibility.
But then people call each other and say, you know, they're not aware.
Yes. So that in that case, you have to also ascertain how sincere the phone call is. Is it just a pro forma phone call where they didn't really mean it, and so they're not actually asking? Or is it an opening for you to say, thank you so much. I've really been thinking about what happened last March, and I really appreciate your apology. I forgive you. Right. It's hard. This is actual work that takes... Okay, so let's take a short... Let's take a short hashkafa break. We actually have to take an actual real break, right? But let's take a short hashkafa break and we'll come back to that question.
Just a coffee break?
No, not that break. I want to do a short hashkafa break. And then we're going to take a coffee break. Right. We're doing a break in the work for a 5-minute thought, and then we're going to take a break, a physical break. Yeah. We're going to take a break in the current work that we're doing to explain a philosophic principle. Okay? A hashkafa. A philosophic principle. Okay? When a baby is in the womb, it's developing many limbs and qualities that are useless to it in the womb. It's growing eyes, but it can't see. It's growing ears, but it can't hear. It's growing a brain, but it can't process. It's growing fingers, but it can't hold. And yet it spends a lot of energy growing things that are useless there, but absolutely necessary after it makes the transition from that stage of life to the next. It could seem like when a baby comes through the birth canal, from the baby's perspective, it's like a death. Right? It doesn't even know where it's going. It's going to a very scary place. It was warm and cuddled and protected, and now it's going into a dry, cold, bright, noisy world. Right? My grandson just had his tonsils out and his ears drained. He's 13 months. He had fluid in his ears the whole time. It was so amazing when he came home from the hospital. He's looking around at all the sounds. Like, the whole house was so noisy to him. He didn't hear those sounds before. So, but that's what a baby feels like coming out too. It's a whole different experience, right? So we are now in a second stage of life, not the final stage of life. Of course, in the womb, we develop things that we need here. Here we're in a womb too. Our neshama's in a womb of our body. And our neshama is developing qualities that don't really serve it well here, our soul. Our soul is inside our body. And our soul is developing qualities that it absolutely needs in the next phase of life that it might not necessarily need here. And yet, we've got to develop them in a healthy way, because the next phase of life, we absolutely need those. So we may be held back by opinions, by frustration, by resentments, to forgive, to give, to share, to open up, to change the way that we live. And yet, we absolutely, if we think about ourselves as gestating our souls, so when we gestate a baby, we have to eat differently and rest differently and refrain differently, right? You're allowed to have an alcoholic drink if you're not pregnant, but if you are, you're not. Not forever, for 9 months, you don't drink. If you smoke, you stop. You shouldn't smoke anyway. But if you smoke, you stop for while you're pregnant. It's not good for the baby. And if you don't take vitamins regularly, well, when you're pregnant, you do.
You add things in. You check your protein levels. You just make sure that I made a list when I was carrying twins. I made a list of what I had to eat each day because sometimes I didn't make, you know, enough. So sometimes before I would go to sleep, I would just open a can of tuna fish to make sure I like could check off 3 more protein squares on my boxes just to make sure I was getting the adequate nutrition to grow. There were 7, 11, and 8, 4, so Baruch Hashem at birth. So I grew healthy twins, but I had my list every day to check off. Anyway, so we are gestating our souls. And our souls are developing qualities that we don't necessarily need here, and we absolutely need in the next phase of our existence. So we want to understand how to gestate properly. So with that, we'll take a little break, and we'll come back and continue the work.
Can you say how much?
Oh, how much time? Right now it is 12:14. Right? 12:10 you have? 12:10. I'm resetting my watch. Right now it's 12:10. So at 12:25, everybody should start walking back so that they're sitting in seats here in this room at 12:30.
Lisa.
Yeah.
Two questions about this. When you